Well, thank you all so much for always leading us in worship, and so thankful for this time of year. I want to invite you to turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, we have made it to chapter 4 in our study of 1 Corinthians. On Sunday nights, as we've been walking through 1 Corinthians, I've been doing it in a way that I hope has helped you think about your own personal time in God's Word, asking and answering good questions of what you're reading to make sure that you are understanding and applying God's Word to your life. And so let me pray for us, and then we will seek to do just that again tonight from 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Lord God, we come before you and we stop, which is extremely necessary and something that you tell us to do, that we often must come and be still before the Lord and know that you are God. So I pray that we would know in these moments your goodness, your grace, and your presence with us, and that your passion for a relationship with us is strong and ever-present. So I pray that we would turn our hearts fully to you and hear from your word tonight, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I woke up this morning like I do a lot of Sunday mornings. I try to wake up a little earlier on Sunday mornings to ensure a little bit of quiet. Just a little bit of quiet, Lord. That's all I'm looking for before the day starts, to think on the Lord's Word, to think on the preaching of God's Word as it comes to the day. Sunday is my favorite day of the week, and it is a privilege to preach God's Word, but it takes quiet in order to be ready to do that. So the alarm went off at 6 o'clock, and Honey, the dog, needed to go out, of course, because she hears the alarm, and she's up with me, so we go out. And by the time we walk in the door, I have two boys looking at me in the face. And the question is, why are you already awake? And I could not get them to go back to sleep. And I know that you question my parenting in that moment. But sometimes I've just learned that you choose your battles. And so they played with the dog while I tried to have my few moments of meditation and prayer this morning. And that happens many times, and I say that story to start because all of us deal with a lot of noise. In our day and age, I feel like there's more noise than ever, and I see everybody shaking their head because everyone knows what I'm talking about. The noise is immense, and when we come to things like Advent, we're reminded that this was supposed to be a season to slow down a bit, to reflect on who God is and what he has done and what that means for you personally and what that means for our lives. But everything in us and around us is fighting against us with a ton of noise, a ton of noise. And as we've walked through 1 Corinthians, I believe one of the main things Paul is seeking to do is he is seeking to speak into the noise. Remember that he was concerned for this church. We've called this series Concerning the Church because he was concerned with what he was hearing about the noise, that there's divisions, that there's talking about different spiritual leaders, and oh, well, I follow this guy, and I follow that guy, and there's divisions about who baptized who, and who was the best speaker. Remember, the criticism of Paul was, well, he doesn't give us a lot of practical wisdom for life. He just talks about Jesus and him crucified. Surely, there's more to learn than that, right? And so there was a lot of criticism, there was a lot of man's opinions, a lot of judgments floating around, and that was the context of the noise that this church was in. And I'll tell you, I don't find myself in those same contexts all the time, but there's always noise. We know that. 24-hour news cycles and social media and man's opinions and so many perceived expectations on all of us, especially this time of year that there's so much noise. And Paul is going to say a few things to the church tonight that I believe is encouraging them to step away from the noise. Take a step back from the noise. You know, Ecclesiastes tells us that there's nothing new under the sun. So what we see the church in Corinth experience, we still experience as well. The situation revolves around man's opinions and criticisms and judgments. Have you ever felt so sure that God wanted you to do something, but you didn't do it, not because of your relationship with God, because of your relationship with someone else? God, I know you wanted me to reach out and speak to that person, but I just couldn't get over the fear of the judgments of others. God, I know you were calling me out in that way, but I just couldn't get over what my parents might think or what they might feel. Whatever it is, we've all been there. We've all experienced times where the noise around us keeps us from doing what God has simply called us to do. And so I know that Paul's message helps us to take a step away from the noise and to hear the Lord and to think on the Lord and how he quiets our souls even in the midst of the noise. So in this church, people are hurting, scared to make decisions or step out boldly, not sure what will become of it. Maybe they'll become the targets of judgment and criticism next. So in the midst of that situation, Paul writes, 1 Corinthians 4, starting in verse 1. Remember, he's talked about the divisions in the church, and he has said that we should not uphold a certain spiritual leader more highly than we ought, but we have to understand that everyone is a servant of Christ, and it is their faithful work that they do for Christ that will matter in the end. And so here's where we pick up 1 Corinthians 4, verses 1 through 5. Paul writes this: "This is how one should regard us, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court. In fact, I don't even judge myself, for I'm not aware of anything against myself, but I'm not therefore acquitted. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Then each one will receive his commendation from the Lord." This is the Lord's word. The first question we want to answer is simply, what does the passage say? Any good personal reading of the Word of God is just observing what is said, thinking about the language, thinking about the context around it in order to observe what is said. The first thing Paul is saying here is that all in Christ should be considered servants and stewards. These men that you're lifting up, the ones that you're judging their speaking or their spiritual leadership, you know how they should be regarded? Not as rock stars, not as people owned by the church, but as servants and stewards. Servants of Christ and stewards of the gospel of God. Paul is answering the question here, well, if we as a church are not to say, I follow Paul or I follow Apollos, what are we to say? This is how you should regard us, Paul says. Servants of Christ. Servants do not have followers. Servants are followers. So servants of Christ are not to have followers. They are to serve Christ and to make followers of Jesus Christ. Everyone who is in Christ is a follower and a servant of Christ. So it makes no sense to say, well, I follow this leader. I follow this man. No, no, no. Paul would say, follow me, but only as I follow Christ. Paul wanted to make sure if you're following me, it's really just because I'm following Christ. If I were to stray from Christ in any way, you keep following Christ, not me. So if God does call us to the task of leadership, And he does all of us in some way, either in our families, in our church, in our job. We are called to have the heart like the Apostle Paul to say, follow me as I follow Christ. If I stray from that line, do not keep following me. You continue to follow Christ. You see, in Christ, we are followers and servants of the one who loves us, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we're also not only servants, but we are stewards of the mysteries of God. I always like to keep a dictionary handy when I'm reading the Bible, or in my case, dictionary.com. And the definition of a steward is a person who manages another's property or affairs. Not only are we servants of Christ, but we are stewards of Christ. We hold and manage the properties and affairs of another. And it's amazing to think it's the property and affairs of God Himself. Think about that. God has given every one of His children a stewardship. He has given us His grace and His gospel and a personal relationship with Him, and He gives it to us for us to serve Him and to steward what He has given us. Here is my saving message, God says. Here is my saving grace, my provision for life and godliness. You manage it for my glory and for my mission in the world. That is a great responsibility God has given us. The text says we are stewards of the mysteries of God. This seems kind of strange, right? You think mysteries, that sounds like something hidden, something not yet revealed, but that's not, when we look throughout the New Testament, the mysteries of God doesn't mean that it's something hidden that God's not telling us about. The word mystery here doesn't mean some secret things about God that people cannot understand, but it speaks of the salvation that God has accomplished in Christ that was not made fully known to God's people prior to the death and resurrection of Christ. All the prophecies, all the Old Testament, there was a mystery to how God's Messiah was going to come and how He was going to save His people. And now those mysteries have been revealed in Christ. That is how the apostles shared the gospel, was to show the promises of the Old Testament and how Jesus fulfilled it. Those are the mysteries of Christ. It's not that we search for some hidden knowledge. Some would teach that there's somehow some knowledge in between the text, something that only a very spiritual person could understand, and it's something that's not truly written in the text, but if you're spiritual enough, you'll find it. Oh no, that's not the case. God revealed Himself clearly in Jesus Christ, and we are to know Him from His Word. He's not the author of confusion when it comes to our faith. And so He says we should all be regarded as servants and stewards. You know, when we regard ourselves as servants and as stewards, it means that we all understand that we are all accountable. You're not accountable to me. You're accountable to God. And so I honor your accountability before God. You honor my accountability before God. And that's where Paul will go next. He says that servants and stewards must be found faithful. This is the manner of which God's servants and stewards must be found. And that is extremely encouraging because He does not say that they must be found most impressive. They must be found most eloquent. That seemed to be the argument for many in the church. They must be found the most skilled, or they must have the most things in their lives put together and seem like the best kind of people. No, no, no. It is required of stewards that they be found faithful. It's not some message that they had to drum up, and it's not some life that they had to drum up. It is knowing Christ and His gospel, and it is abiding in Christ and seeking to be faithful to God over the long haul. That is what is required of stewards and of servants. Not regarding the judgments of others, but the judgment of God, that we would be found faithful. Then verses 3 and 4 give this most life-giving evaluation about who it is that's qualified to judge whether one is faithful as a servant and steward of Christ. It says in verse 3, "But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court. In fact, I don't even judge myself. For I'm not aware of anything against myself, but I am not thereby acquitted. It is the Lord who judges me. Who is qualified to judge one's faithfulness as a servant and a steward of Christ? Not other people, and not even self, but God alone who will judge. Paul never did any ministry without the opposition of others, without the criticism of others, without the difficult situations of others. And sometimes you look at a person like Paul and you say, how did he continue to move forward? How did he continue to keep his heart open toward God and open toward love of God and love of others? He took lightly the criticism and judgments of others because Paul knew, if other people can shut me up, then I am no longer being a steward of this great gospel that God has given me. So we should regard one another as servants and of stewards. Therefore, the clear command to us from God through Paul is, do not pronounce judgment on others, verse 5. Do not pronounce judgments on others before the time. Well, before what time? Well, he tells us here, before the Lord comes. Well, does that mean that we can pronounce judgment after he comes? Well, it's like we heard this morning, there will be no need. Because verse 5, when the Lord comes, he will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart, then each one will receive his commendation from the Lord. Always remember the context of the passage. What things is God going to bring to light that is dark to us right now? Well, in the context, it is the faithfulness of a person's service and stewardship to God. You say, well, what part of someone's faithfulness can we not see now? It's what he says here, the purposes of the heart. We don't understand and know the motivations of everyone's heart. God does. If someone has done what they have done in the name of Christ in order to gain their own followers or to gain their own fame, they will not be found faithful in that. But you know, it's interesting. Paul mentions this very thing in the book of Philippians when he says, some preach Christ from envy and rivalry and others from goodwill. But what does he say? I'm just happy they preach Christ. Regardless. You know what he's saying? Paul is free to not judge those people. Paul is free as a preacher of the gospel to not get on Twitter and tweet bad things about other preachers of the gospel. What he says is, I just want Jesus to move forward, and I'm too focused on my task and my calling to know Christ and to make him know. That's my servanthood. That's my stewardship. It's not to keep others accountable for their ministries that God has given them. It's about me and God and doing what God has called me to do. And all those other things will be worked out in the last day. These things that are hidden now, these things that we don't understand about others' motivations or anything, it will all be laid bare on the last day, God says. And all that will matter is the commendation of God. There has been times in my life where I've had to make an unpopular decision because I believe that was what God had called me to do. And I have not always done that well. But when I have, God gives you this peace. That Jason, at the end of the day, if this was of God, not only is he going to commend you for it, but they're going to see it rightly. It was extremely difficult on my parents when God called us to go to India after we had had our first two children, and rightly so. That was a situation that I could not make right for them. And I couldn't make it right for me that we would be so far away. All I could do is say yes to God and to go. And by God's grace, he allowed us and allowed them to learn and grow abundantly in that. And I know when we are all in heaven face to face, it won't be how could you leave us like that, or how could you take the grandkids away. There will just be this commendation and this peace. And listen, we worry so much, and so many of us are so caught up in the judgments and the pressures of others that we cannot just hear God's will and say yes. So what does the passage say? I just summarize it this way. Servants and stewards of Christ must be found faithful, not by others or self, but by God the judge. What did the passage mean to its original audience? Well, it meant they had been wrong for all their opinions and their criticisms and their judgments. We've seen in past weeks that some said, well, I follow Apollos because Paul didn't speak eloquently enough. He didn't give us enough good wisdom for living. He just kept preaching Christ and him crucified. Don't you think we know that by now? Whoa, 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 we would say, God would say. God did not bring Paul to these people to impress them with his abilities and his wisdom. God sent Paul as a servant of Christ and the stewards of the mysteries of the gospel of salvation that is all tied up in the death of Jesus Christ. And I mean, what is Paul supposed to do with criticism like that? Well, I guess I'll quit preaching because other people have judged me no good. No. God called Paul as a servant and steward of God's mysteries, but men did not call him to this task. So he must be faithful to do what God told him to do, whether other people understand it or not. I wonder if God's maybe put something on your heart to do, and you just haven't done it, not because he hasn't opened the door, but because you're worried about the judgments of others. God would encourage you to step out. Take the step. Because at the end of the day, it's not going to matter what someone else thinks. It's going to matter what God thinks. So what did it mean to its original audience? If the church will consider others as servants and stewards of Christ, they'll refrain from judgments and criticism and unite under the motivation to be found by God, to be faithful to Christ. It is a fearful thought in my mind that I could do or say something to lead one of you to stumble in your faith in Christ. My stewardship to you is not myself, but it is Christ. Your stewardship to one another is not yourself, but it is Christ. For Christ is in all and through all, and at the end of the day, that is all that will matter. What does the passage tell us about God is the next question that we've asked. I would just go through the passage and find where God is mentioned and how God is put in the forefront. I put that God is the only one to whom we are ultimately accountable, no one else. God will pronounce judgment on the purposes of the heart of each of his servants and stewards, and he will be the one to give commendation. What does the passage tell us about man? Well, while man was made to be humble servants and stewards, he is tempted to take God's place as judge, resulting in unwarranted judgment and criticism. It doesn't seem that our nation can even have a conversation anymore. We can only judge and criticize one another and others. And it leaves the more important matters unattended to. And that can happen in a church as much as it can in a nation. And you just think about. That person standing in front of me has a stewardship, not to me, but to God. And I have a stewardship, not as much to them, but to God. And so how I conduct myself, how I pursue God and his holiness, how I act and treat towards others, those are all things that have more to do with Christ than they do with me. What does this passage demand of me? How does it call us out? What is the application to us? Well, I wrote that the passage demands that I not pronounce judgment on others in terms of their faithfulness to God. Keep it all in context. Next chapter, chapter 5, is going to say there is a man in heinous sexual sin and you need to call him out and remove him from the church. You say, well, isn't that a judgment? Didn't God just say, don't judge? No. He said, don't judge based on anyone's faithfulness to Christ. But the things that are clear are clear. a clear violation, a clear sin, a clear rejection of God and his ways, that's not an ungodly judgment to just call sin what it is. He's saying, that is not the situation that is going on here. And you'll hear it all the time. You'll hear it all the time. Just start trying to share the gospel with others. And when you get to us being sinful, they might not know any other verse in the Bible, but they know this one. Didn't Jesus say, don't judge? Don't judge me. You know, you hear the rappers when they win their awards, they go up there and only God can judge me. And I want to thank God for this and all that, right? Well, that's not exactly what God was saying. He's saying we can't judge anyone according to their faithfulness and their service to Christ. The passage demands that we not pronounce judgment on others' faithfulness to God. It also demands that I follow through in my own faithfulness as a servant and steward of Christ without thought towards the judgments or criticisms of others. If everyone in the church decided that they didn't want me to preach from the Bible anymore, that would not be an option for me, because I am more accountable to God and his word than to the church. Same to you. If you have a family member that doesn't want you to live like you're living, or if it makes people uncomfortable at work that you are faithful to Christ, you just remember at the end of the day, it is Christ who will give you his commendation. It is Christ who is with you in those places. Do not give yourself to the fear of others over the fear of God. Pastor Tim Keller, he wrote a little book on this passage that I read several years ago, and it was called The Freedom of Self-Forgetfulness. The Freedom of Self-Forgetfulness. I love that idea, because what does Paul say? He said, I don't even judge myself. I mean, I don't know anything really bad or really wrong that I've done, but what does it matter? I can't acquit myself. It's only me being accountable to God. Listen, some of us are so focused on self. Did I do this right? Did I do that right? Well, I couldn't talk about Jesus. What if I got something wrong? And at the end of the day, this freedom of understanding you're accountable to Christ means you don't have to add up to all of your own expectations. You just have to be an obedient servant of Christ and say yes when he asks you to move. Find freedom. Sometimes the self-evaluation is so self-defeating because it's so about self, when it really should be about God. This is the only way to live free from the fear of others' judgments and criticisms, and maybe from the judgments and criticisms you have of yourself. And this one's really applicable to our passage tonight. How does this passage change the way I relate to people? Every passage in Scripture, as we're studying, remember, it's always about how we relate with God and how we relate with others. It speaks to both those things. And so how does this change the way I relate with people? I must relate with others as accountable to God and not me. I do not need others to live up to my standards or expectations, and I do not need to live up to theirs. We are called to faithfulness to Christ, and we should encourage others in that pursuit. I've said it many times, and I don't feel like everyone understands it, and that's okay, because some things, some wisdom, you only get when you experience it yourself. But one thing that I've learned and I'm thankful for is the more that I need from others, the less I can truly love them. If Robin has to be certain things for me and provide certain things in a certain way, it is difficult for me to love her unless she's meeting all of my expectations and standards. And it's the same with any relationship in our life. And understanding that we take ourselves off the throne and off the judge's chair, that is not our role. It is my call to love her, not for her to be everything I would expect or want all the time. And that's true of any of our relationships. There's a freedom in self-forgetfulness, forgetting our preference and our standards and the things that we want to live up to ourselves or we want and uphold for others. And instead, that I am a servant and steward of Christ and all Christ has given me, and you are too. I don't want to get in your way. And you don't want to get in mind from doing what God has called you to do and being accountable to God alone. So what does this passage prompt me to pray? God, keep me focused on my faithfulness as a servant and steward of Christ in a spirit of unity among others. Would you pray with me?